Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and good evening to you all. Thank you for tuning in once again. Catharsis on Is That Jazz Radio. We have with us this evening the Black Perspective, a TV show that is near the Delaware that comes from the Tuesdays 4:30 and 5:00. Founded by brothers Christopher X and brother Ernest Muhammad in 2005. Hosted by Queen Isabella and co-hosted by yours truly, Ebony, Queen Ebony. On the show, we debate and discuss the issues that plague the Black communities and come up with viable solutions and answers to our many issues. On this evening's show, we are bringing the Black perspective to catharsis. So please give us a moment and we will be back with the Black perspective. Take this time to unwind and expand your mind while listening to Lonnie Listening Smith and the Cosmic Echoes Expansion.
Thank you.
Peace, family. Thank you so much once again for tuning in to Catharsis on Is That Jazz Radio. I am your host, Ebony Zudia. We have with us the Black Perspective. Brother Chris, Brother Ernest, Queen Isabella, are you guys there?
Yes, I'm here. Brother Christopher's here.
Peace, Brother Hotep.
Come
on, Queen.
Brother Ernest? Was that Brother Ernest?
No, this is Brother Most.
Brother Most. Peace, Brother Most from Florida.
Yes, ma'am.
Peace, how you doing, brother?
How y'all doing? I decided to tune in, and here I am.
Yes, sir. We're going to put you on hold, though, and we're going to bring Brother Chris, Brother Ernest Muhammad. If you are there, brother, press 1 so we can put you in the queue. Queen Isabella, sister, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Hotep.
Hotep, sis. And we're just waiting for Brother Ernest Muhammad.
All right.
Well, okay, while we're waiting for Brother Ernest Muhammad, Brother Chris, how are you this evening?
Fine, Queen. How you doing?
I'm good. I know you had a busy, busy day today.
Not that busy.
Oh, okay. Queen Isabella, how you doing, sis?
Home, whatever. This weather is something crazy. I suggest everybody that's out on the road to be careful. It's very icy out there.
Yes, yes, indeed, Mama. We're just going to go ahead and move along. I'm not sure if Brother Ernest Muhammad is listening, but if you are, Brother, just all you have to do is press 1, and our engineer, Tracy, will put you right on into the conversation, okay? But we are going to move along because we are live. Brother Chris, can you give us a bio sketch? Queen, I want you to give a bio sketch as well, but I'm going to start with Brother Chris first.
Okay. I'd like to first thank you, Queen Evans, for having me on the show, the Catharsis, and Durham. I'd like to thank y'all for having us on. It's an honor to be on. My name is Brother Christopher X. I'm a Muslim. I'm 50 years old, a member of the Nation of Islam since 2001, and a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I'd like to just, you know, just stop right there for 1 second and go into that a little bit. If it wasn't, and you know this is Black History Month, so I just want to give some props to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I would have not known anything about being a Muslim if it wasn't for hearing the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I wouldn't have known probably about the name Allah, or have read the Quran, or have even read and studied the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The 4 Imams of Islam, Umar, Uthman, Abu Barak, and Ali, I would have known nothing about these people if it wasn't for the city of Muhammad. Those caliphs, so I have to give him his props. Or the history of the Kaaba, and a lot of that. And basically our program came out of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I've been mentored by a brother by the name of Dr. Edward Robinson of Philadelphia. I could go into Lindy about my relationship with him. Also have traveled a few places. Let it end right there, and we'll go to my sister and let her give her bio.
Thank you, Brother Chris. We thank you you all just for coming on as well. We appreciate it. Go ahead, Queen.
All right. Well, thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate the opportunity. My name is Queen Isabella. I'm 22 years old. I'm from Southwest Philadelphia. I've been out here in Wilmington, Delaware for about 5 years now, and I teach pre-K for the children. I teach them Black history and different languages while I'm there at the preschool. I've been on the Black Perspective since September of last year, so I'm still kind of new to the show, but I appreciate the opportunity to be a part of the show because I'm learning as I'm there, growing with you and Brother Christopher X. So with that being said, again, I appreciate the opportunity.
And we appreciate you, sis, for coming on. And, you know, I appreciate working with you both, y'all beautiful people. So go ahead, Queen Ebony. We want you now to give a little bio sketch of yourself. Well, I'm Ebony Zudia. Some, you know, people that know me personally call me Ebony or Eb. Ebony Zudia is more so my stage name as far as the artist is concerned. I've been with the Black Perspective since, I want to say, December, maybe. And I thank you, Brother Chris, for giving me the opportunity as well. It's an awesome learning experience for me. And I just enjoy doing this because it's something that I was told, I have a gift. I also am a native of Philly. Philly stand up.
That's right.
Philly. And born and raised, been in Delaware for about 8 years or so. And this is where I've actually learned to learn knowledge of self here in Delaware. So big ups to Delaware. You know, we all are one. And I'm a mother first and foremost. I enjoy being a mother. I enjoy being pregnant. It's just beautiful to me. I enjoy giving birth. I also am a part of an organization called 7-Eleven Cosmic Expressions with the Queen, Amorla Luna. And we have an open mic event because we are artists, so we're trying to help local artists and artists that, you know, are not in the industry, but, you know, definitely have a chance to get their voice and their music and their artistic expression out there. I also have a business with the Queen, LaDon. We have a business called Nova. We do catering, vegan catering. Nova stands for Nature's Original Vegan Appetite, and we go to various different venues and events and let people taste our food, and they patronize our sisters. You know, we're feeding them food, real food for the soul, and that's what we're about. I do many, many other things. You can just hit me up on Facebook, Twitter. I'm not going to go too deep into myself. Brother Ernest Muhammad, are you there? Please tell me you're there, brother. No, he's not there. All right. Well, I'm going to just go ahead and move along to my first question. Brother Chris, this is for you. Mm-hmm. What was going on in your life that propelled you to create a media outlet that gives an original perspective from the mind of the original thought?
Well, it was in 2005, being a member of the Nation, there was something that was being started called the Millions More Movement. It was in, I think, November of 2005, and they had Black organizations like SEL, Cancer League, many NAACP, all types of organizations were down there, political leaders, Black political leaders, all came together for a plan for the Millions More Movement. Millions More Movement came out of what was called the Million Man March, anniversary of the Million Man March. That spurned the Million Movement. I attended the Million Man March. The Million Man March was a beautiful event of Black men, over 2 million Black men there who sacrificed.
Excuse me, brother, we're getting a little bit of feedback. If you could turn like down the TV in the background or whoever has the TV in the background, we can hear that. You could turn that down a little bit so we can hear you. Thank you.
I don't have anything in the background, sister.
Okay, I'm not sure who had something in the background, but they turned it down. Thank you. Okay, you can continue. Excuse me.
All right, I was talking about the Millions More Movement coming out of the Million Man March, it being like the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. They reconvened the majority of the organizations that was at the Million Man March and tried to do a national thing. Instead of after the Million Man March, they told most of us to go out and go to our local communities and just go and work in our communities. whereas though now they wanted to tie in all the brothers that came to the Million Man March and then make it a national, what we would call it, a national movement. So that was called the Millions More Movement. And the Millions More Movement had in it what we would call eight committees or eight offices in there. And it had a Department for Information, Agriculture, Human and Health Resources, Justice, Science and Technology, Arts and Culture, Defense, Education, and Trade and Commerce. So when we went to this event, it was a beautiful event, and we got all the information, and we came back home. I went to, when I came to the mosque, I asked them, since everything was open there, I asked them, could I be Minister of Information? And they said, since nobody asked, go ahead and take it, brother. So the first thing I thought about was doing some type of newsletter. And I thought if I had done the newsletter, that would enter all newspapers. You know, the information that was coming from the Final Call newspaper. Right. So I found out there was a brother on Channel 28, and he had a little slot there, and it was called BIT, which stood for Black Entertainment Television, or Black Intelligence Television. The brother's name was Balagoon, and he had that time slot. So I had went to him and told him what I wanted to do, so he allowed me to have that time slot. So that's how the Black Perspective got started, and it was to basically, like you said, on the opening, debate and discuss the issues and that plague the Black community and come up with viable solutions and answers to our many problems. The program is a servant to the Black community. That's what I see the program.
Right. And it's an awesome program. I know you've been getting a lot of feedback from different various people saying how good of a job that Queen Isabella and I are doing, and we appreciate that feedback because that just makes us better and it makes, you know, you even greater at, you know, being a producer of the show and filming, you know, you do it all. And your travels to Africa, exploring Ghana, Nigeria, Nubia, and Egypt, just to name a few of the places you've navigated, how have your eyes been opened to a much more extensive, broad view of the world versus a linear view of what you experience here in the States?
Well, traveling to Egypt and going to the many monuments and stuff that I visited in temples, I saw inside of many of them temples and in the museums that there was a lot of things that we as Black people, we have never saw in our life and we're never going to see in our life. There's places like Abu Simbel. I don't know if you know. A giant monument that's down in Nubia where it's got the giant structures of pharaohs, four of them on the front, and it's got four of them on the back. When you go into a place like that, they have men there with machine guns making sure that you don't take no pictures. Even going into, like, the Valley of the Kings and the Queens, going into those tombs, if the pictures that are inside the tombs could be shown to Black people in America, those pictures would awaken Black people in America. A lot of the things that are inside those temples, they don't allow to be seen. On TV here, basically I found out traveling to, in Egypt that everything that they taught us here about what they call Egypt, but it's called Kemet by us, was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's no possibility of you having a witch pharaoh. Not a possibility. A pharaoh was an enlightened man, but they showed him on TV as Ramses, which Ramses wasn't even during the time of Akhenaten or who they would call Moses. They mixed a lot of the history together, which is false. And I found out a lot about that truth and falsehood through my travels.
Right, okay. Well, actually, we're going to take a break for a moment, and we'll be right back. I want to give a shout-out to Brother Moss. Thank you for tuning in. That brother is out in Florida. So I thank you, brother, for tuning in. Thank everybody for tuning in, but, you know, in particular, thank you, Brother Moss.
Oh. Started walking rough and getting nowhere. I know there's a path that leads towards the master. Love devotion and surrender. Love devotion and surrender. Love devotion and surrender. Love devotion and surrender.
Producer of The Black Perspective, as well as the host, Queen Isabella, and the co-host, yours truly, Queen Ebony. Brother Chris. Brother Chris.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Still.
You are a member of the Personal Power Institute. Can you explain what that is to us, please?
Oh, that's a beautiful question there. The Personal Power Institute comes out of a man I mentioned earlier. His name is Dr. Edward Robinson. On my first trip to Africa, I had a call in with the people that it was a group of people that was going to Africa. It was two legs of the trip. One leg was to Egypt, and then the second leg of it was to Africa. I went on both legs of it. Well, both Africa's in Egypt, so y'all, you know what I mean. So on a telephone conference, they were telling us stuff that we needed when we hit the continent, certain stuff that we needed for our personal hygiene and stuff like that, like mosquito spray and that kind of stuff. And a man came on and talked, and I was like, he blew me away. And I was like, wow, who's that? Oh, he's going on the trip. Oh man, I know I'm gonna get to know him. But he never went on the trip because at the time he was like about 80 years old, believe it or not. So he got sick and he never got on the trip. So I never got a chance to meet him on the trip. But I did get a chance to meet a brother by the name of Nana Kwa David Whitaker. This brother was from Ohio, a scholar. He was off the hook. I stayed with him the whole time I was there. Now, right now, he's the president and the of the Personal Power Institute, the brother. Dr. Robinson was president until he passed. The Personal Power Institute is about using mental energy to control things that are happening in your life. You being in control of what's happening. That's what the Personal Power Institute is. The Institute is set up to give you personal power to be the one that directs your future instead of letting the surrounding atmosphere or the surrounding, as we would say, environment be the one that directs your path in the future. That's what the Personal Power Institute is all about. And Dr. Robinson, this brother was a lawyer, a songwriter, a singer, poet. He wrote the book, The Journey of the Songhai People. He gave us a landmass. A lot of times you hear the Moors say that we call ourselves black and we don't have a landmass. On one of our interviews, one of the Moors brothers said, well, let me go to a vacation to a place called Black. Dr. Robinson, he gave us a landmass. Songhai, he said, we are the people of Songhai, and that's what he taught, that we are the people of Songhai, that our prince was named Suni Ali Bir, who was a warrior. He also wrote an animated movie called The Songhai Princess, and he's got three films that he's written that has never been produced yet. This brother was like a genius. I'm shocked y'all don't know about him. Both of y'all say y'all from Philadelphia. He was from Philadelphia his whole life.
You know what? I actually just looked him up not too long ago. I didn't go into detail, but I know he was a powerful brother. I know he passed away in 2012, right? I think in June 2012. So, I had to do more research on that brother. But, yeah, I know he was a powerful brother. I just learned about him after you mentioned him to me, mentioned him to me about, I think, last week or something.
Yeah, he's the one that put the African-American curriculum in the Philadelphia school system. He's the one who done that.
Wow.
Yep. Wow. So when you African-American history in Philadelphia, you and Queen Isabella, it's because of work that he had done.
Exactly.
So he was a powerful brother in my life. I miss him, and I would just like to give him some props. That's why I talked about him. I know Black History Month passed, but our history is 365.
Indeed it is. It never stops. Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you. If you could tell us more about Dr. Edward Robinson, like, that would be awesome. You know, you have plenty of time to do so if you wanted to elaborate a little bit more on the brother.
Well, since the Black Perspective came out of the Millions More Movement, I'd like to go into the Millions More Movement if y'all don't mind a little bit.
This is catharsis. You know, this is a moment of truth. So please do speak your truth if you wish to.
Okay. Like I said earlier, the Millions More Movement came out of in 2005, out of Black organizations coming together and politicians and all that, and I gave you the 8 ministries. Now, in taking on the Ministry of Information, I also had to create the other ministry. The other ministries were open, and sometimes in our community, people don't want to take on, grab something, just take it and run with it. So I had to try to recruit people to get these ministries. And in doing that, we developed what would be called a disaster management team in Wilmington. A lot of people don't know about that, but there is a disaster management team in Wilmington that's trained by the Red Cross through classes. Myself, I have certificates that if a disaster would happen, I could go to the headquarters of that disaster and they would let me take control of parts of our community and giving us food and shelter and water and all that kind of stuff. So that's one great thing that came out of the Millions More Movement. I believe it's 9 of us that were trained in disaster management. We were trained in organizing a disaster plan team and staffing an emergency operations center. We were trained in establishing services in mitigation in state and local planning for the African American community. So in that just is monumental itself that these people are in place. We thank God we haven't had a disaster here, but there are people in place that can handle a disaster if it was to happen in Wilmington in the Black community, and that came out of the Millions More Movement.
Exactly. Wow, that's powerful. I have a very, very close friend of mine that is a part of DEMA, which is the Delaware Emergency Management Association. So I'm very, very, you know, grateful to even have someone that close to me. If something was to happen, I would, you know, be notified. But that's powerful to even have that type of gift, you know, and skill. That's what we need in our communities. We need people with those type of skills. Have you had to deal with any oppositions while, like, controlling this media outlet, and do you face any now that you may be willing to share on the show with us this evening?
We face some, I would say, or the Black perspective is 10 years old, became 10 years old this November, mm-hmm. or will be old this November. Early on, we did. I had a busybody, FBI. The other brother that's not on here, and I really wouldn't like to go too much into his situation because that had a lot to do with him not being on the show now, things like that that was going on.
Right.
But, in the future, you and Queen Isabella, when the time comes, I guess. Everything happens when the time is right. So I figure sometime or another y'all will have a visit or possibly see somebody tailing you. You just keep seeing somebody following you around or something like that. You can go into the book. It's called COINTELPRO, and you'll see that anytime you start anything that's a media outlet or you're a rapper or a singer or anything like that, they have specific units for things like that. They cover that. So if their modem of operation is to be secretive, then they're not trying to let you know about them following you or, you know, even tabs on you.
Exactly. So how do you deal with that type of energy? Like, how do you deal with that?
Well,
because I know some people, and I know some people become fearful. Like, you know, some people are invoked by that fear, you know, so how do you deal with that?
Once they see that you're not scared, they don't mess with you anymore. They don't mess with you. Because a lot of times with the other brother, and I, you know, I'm going to go into that. No, I shouldn't go into that, really. But a lot of times I would say,
if he's not here, yeah, we're not going to, you know.
But a lot of times me and him would get into conversations, and I would be like saying, you know, this thing is deep because you read about it a lot of times. Like if you read about the Panthers and you read about Black organizations and you know how they were taken down. And then when you see little stuff happening to you, then you say, wow, this thing is real, huh? So that's how I look at it.
Okay. And you basically said to deal with it is just not to even allow that fear energy to even impact you in a way that makes you more powerful, because then they eventually leave you alone, basically, right?
Well, okay, I'll give you a for instance. The Million Man March. The Million Man March, all Black men knew about the Million Man March in America, but all of them didn't come. Now, on that day, they asked Black families not to go to school. They asked Black families not to buy anything, not to leave out. They was to sit down and watch the TV because the whole thing was on C-SPAN. The whole world saw the Million Man March. The whole world on C-SPAN that day. And Black families were supposed to sit in their house. Our wife and our children were supposed to sit in their house. Their men went down to Washington, D.C. to handle some business. Only 2 million Black men went. And you wasn't supposed to go to your job and say, sir, I'd like to take a day off. It wasn't that. You were supposed to go. You weren't supposed to ask him nothing. You wasn't asking him nothing. You were standing up and saying, I'm taking this day. It's mine. I'm asking you for the day off. And like I said before, now what kept the rest of the brothers from coming? All the rest of the brothers went to work. Their family bought stuff, and and drove in their car. You wasn't supposed to drive in your car or nothing. You were supposed to, your family, your wife and children were supposed to be home, and that black man was supposed to be there in Washington, D.C. So what was the fear factor?
Losing a job. Wow. Yeah, that's, I mean, what can you say about that? There's nothing you can really say about that. You know, in 1860, 98% of all blacks in America worked for white people. You know, then, 2001, 98% of black people in America still work for white people. You know, it's a cycle that continues to keep playing over and over and has to be broken some way or another, one way or another. But we're going to actually go for another break, and we will be back with the Queen Isabella. We want to know a little bit more about that sister, that beautiful queen. So we'll be back in a moment.
Hey, what's up, man? Brother,
what's up?
Hey, how you
doing? Recorded, man.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Right on.
peace, family. We are back. Thank you once again for tuning in and staying with us on Catharsis on Is That Jazz Radio. We really appreciate you. Queen, I have one question for you, and then any of the callers that's listening, if you have a question, can you go ahead and press 1 so we can answer your question for you? Queen Isabella, how did you come to learn about the Black perspective, and what made you join the team?
All right, well, very simple. I was at work. I was at work with the children, and Brother Christopher X, he comes in on Tuesdays and Thursdays to teach the Black history. So as he was coming in, he was watching how I worked with the children, and then one day in the hallway, he stopped and asked me, he said, how would you feel about doing a TV show or whatever? And I was like, I said, that would be good. It would be something different. I've never done it before, but I know it's a positive thing, so why not? So from that point on, he tested to see how I would do. So our first real interaction was me interviewing people out in the street, like asking them questions as far as concerns in the Black community and what was going on and how they felt on things. And once I started to warm up to that, I was like, you know what, I think I can do this. So it was me meeting Brother for Christopher X at my job that brought me on to the show.
Okay, cool. Same question for you, Queen Ebony. Well, Brother Chris, they knocked on where I was working at. I work for the African American Historical Society of Delaware and the African American Heritage Center. And they knocked on the door, and I was working in the office, and they wanted the executive director of the African American Historical Society of Delaware to come out and, you know, speak about some things that he was doing. He was having an African American Family Festival that was coming up. And Brother Richard Raw, he was like, Sister Ebony, because I'm an artist, can you, like, do a poem or something on the air for us? So I was like, okay. So I did a poem. After I did the poem, Brother Christopher was like, yo, that was dope, sister. And I said, thank you. And then a couple days later, I was walking to work, and a brother was screaming my name out, like, Sister Ebony. It was Brother Mike. I'm putting you on blast, but Brother Mike, if you listening. But he was screaming my name in the middle of the street and was like, Brother Christopher wants to talk to you about business. And I was like, really? So he passed the information on your math, and we met up one day and just had a talk, and, you know, here we are. So I appreciate the opportunity. Much, much love. Brother, our engineer, Brother Tracy, has a question. You there, brother?
Yes, ma'am.
No, Brother Tracy, Brother Chris. Tracy said he had a question, the engineer. So if you're listening, brother, I know you hear me. You could go ahead and ask your question whenever you're ready. Trace? Okay, well, if Tracy doesn't have any question, if the listening audience have any questions, all you have to do is press 1, and you'll be able to ask Brother Christopher X a question, or Sister Queen Isabella a question, or even yours truly.
Hey, guys, here I am. Thank you. I had a little trouble with my mic. I'm sorry for the delay. Thank you, Queen Isabella. And thank you, Chris.
No problem.
Hey, Chris. I really liked, you know, what your story about the Million Man March. I was there at 4 a.m., and it's it's a transformative moment for me. So, you really brought memories. Chris, we were at an event yesterday that aired a movie that was aired in several cities yesterday. And I was told there was an event at the Longshoremen's Hall. I think our listeners would benefit from your perspective of just how do we impact the community with media like that, and just your thoughts of the message that was delivered both yesterday and today, and what folks call our city murder capital say.
I'm going to go with the first one. The greatest darkness that there is the darkness of ignorance. And ignorance ain't a bad thing. Ignorance is unaware and uninformed. So those type of venues are venues that educate, make aware, make informed. Yesterday and the one today is a good thing. The problem is bringing people out for this desire to be like a disease, to end ignorance and to spread like a virus amongst our people. Education's got to spread like a virus. So I say yes to these events. They're good events. Got to get more people to these type of events.
And Queen Isabella, your thoughts also, what did you feel attending the events yesterday and today? What were your thoughts?
Say that again, please.
What were your thoughts about the two events that you attended this weekend? The screening of the movie and I guess something happened today at the Longshoremen's Hall?
Okay, I didn't attend the event today, but the event that I attended yesterday, everything
okay.
you had to say as far as that documentary was true. I agreed to a lot that Killer Mike had to say, and it's kind of sad that entertainers like that feel as though they can't be out to speak to the public just based on truth. It's like the world, it's not that the world don't want to hear truth, but it's the people that's in charge of the world that stop truth from being heard.
Exactly.
So it puts you in an awkward position. It's like you can't really talk about what you want to because then they looking for you and they coming for you. So it's like you just sit back and you hold it. You can only talk about it to people that's willing to listen. So it's
right.
kind of unfortunate. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. And thank you, Ebony, for allowing me to ask that question.
No problem, Trace. Yeah, the documentary, I didn't get a chance to actually watch it, you know, because I was a little busy with other things. But just to have the nice turnout that was involved was a good thing. Like, we need to be more involved in what our people are doing, even if we don't agree. We can agree to disagree. You know, it's about showing love, like that universal divine love, like just to be there just because. A lot of events, I'm very active in the community, and, you know, I don't agree with everything, you know, if anything at all, but I go and support and patronize my brothers and sisters, and that's what we have to get better at, loving one another and loving ourselves. We have to really get more involved in what we are doing, you know, and stop focusing on other things that's going on, because we're manifesting everything around us. You know, everything is a figment of our imagination. So we have to definitely be involved with each other and start loving on each other more often. Brother Chris, what are your goals with the Black Perspective, and what do you have for the future?
Well, for the media future, we're going to start to go to an hour, hopefully in a couple of months, once we get ourselves together and become proficient. I'm talking about the host and the co-host. Once they become proficient in what they're doing, then we can go to an hour. And then later on, we'll be going to different places. We'll try to go. We'll go up Philadelphia. We'll go up into Chester during when the weather gets warm. And when we look down the road for the program, we see the program hopefully trying to get itself on a national stage. Long-range goals.
Awesome. Wow, that's beautiful. And I know Queen and I, we're going to be ready. We're definitely going to be ready. As long as people keep having that faith in us, you know, we're going to definitely be ready for whatever comes at us. Well, we
Absolutely.
Have about 8 minutes in the show. If you have, if either one of you have any closing statements, this is the time to do so. Ladies first on this one, Brother Chris. So, Sister Queen Isabella, if you have any closing statements, you can go ahead and make them now, Queen.
I mean, like I said, my main thing that I just wanted to push is just truth. And until the Black people can come together as a community and wake up to what's really going on in the world, they're going to be stuck in the condition that they're in. it's going to be a never-ending cycle. They're going to keep having these babies. It's just like a chain that's never going to break. So it's like the question really is, when is it going to end? That's just what I have to say about that.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Brother Chris?
Yeah, my closing words to our community and those who are under listening audience, that we don't look for, if we're looking for a solution for our problems when it comes to health, we go to a doctor. We don't ask the doctor whether he's Christian, Muslim, or Buddhist or whatever. We just want to get served, and we want to get out of our illness or out of our disease or dis-ease. So, again, I have to mention the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I think the only reason why his program is not accepted is because he's a Muslim, and the other thing may be that he had more than one wife. I say that that's a small thing for a race of people not to take a solution for a problem just because of those things. If we as a people would re-examine the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his teachings, I think we would be successful.
Okay, thank you, brother. And I guess I can make a little closing statement. I just want people to remember that catharsis is a psychological release of unbalanced emotion, a purification and a clarification, a moment of self and what I like to say, what I like to call a moment beyond self-awareness. We have to go beyond this linear or a beeline view of what we are seeing. We are multidimensional. We have to get with the program and look 360 degrees and examine everything, you know, because if we are of truth, then we have it within us. We have to continue to be what it is that we want to see in the world. You understand what I'm saying? We have to be that change that we want to see in the world, not just talk the talk. We have to walk and live it because we are being watched, not just by people on this planet. You know, so with that being said,
Ebony,
I think you all want. Go ahead,
Ebony,
please. Yes.
Thank you. I'm very sorry. This is on the engineer, not on our host. But it's a gentleman in Florida. He just let me know that he would like to ask a question, and I don't want to let you guys go without answering, I guess, a couple of questions that have popped up on my board here. So if you guys
don't mind.
Okay, so we're going to first answer a question from the gentleman who's in Florida. Sir, you're on the air now.
Peace, Brother Moss. Brother Moss?
Yes.
Brother Moss. Hey, peace, Brother Moss. Yeah. Thank you again for tuning in, brother. We appreciate you. Go ahead and ask your question.
Okay, well, I wanted to touch on a few things because I went to the Million Man March myself, and I was the only brother that drove up from Florida. And it was a very powerful event because I've met brothers from all over the world, and we literally cried, you know, being together, you know. And it's bad that our people are going through what they want to go through. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad program, I mean, I have basically pretty much all of his books, you know. And I try and tell all our people, I say, you need to have Message to the Black Man, How to Eat to Live, Volume 1 and 2. And the Fall of America. But our people refuse to want to read. And until we start, you know, helping ourselves by empowering ourselves mentally, you know, we're going to continue to be in this cycle that we're in. You know, and a few things about the Million Man March that happened that a lot of people didn't know about is that the night before it rained. You two brothers, y'all say y'all was there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was there at 4 in the morning because coming from Philadelphia and Camden, where I'm from, you had to get in the city before 5 because they wouldn't allow you to drive beyond that. So I can talk until tomorrow about that, brothers. I'll let you guys go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, I left Friday when I got off home. When I got off from work, I left Friday to go down there.
Okay, you remember that it rained the night before?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, I was out there. I was there. I stayed up with Brother Sharif, who lives in D.C., and we was out there walking around while it was raining, and as it was raining, the rain was washing chemicals out of the trees.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the Most High at work. And so that makes a lot of people to know that there were snipers, okay, waiting to see what was going to happen.
I saw them, all the helicopters above our head. I was right there, brother. We had helicopters ahead all day long. I remember that, brother.
Yeah, and see, now what they were saying, well, you know, they just said white men can't jump, white men can't count. There was over 1 million people there before the sun came up.
Brother, I seen them woolly heads when I turned my head around. I said, oh, my God, it looked like a sea of wool heads.
Hey, Chris, can I add to that, man? Like, I was there. I remember we got there, and I got there early enough where we could actually go to the staging. And I say right before dawn, like the gentleman from Florida mentioned, my buddy and I and my brother, we walked back a little disappointed. The yard was kind of, you know, people were there, but I wanted to see 1 million people when I arrived. Chris, as we started to walk back to the van, I saw the sea of black men that you described, man. And all I can say is, like the gentleman said earlier, I think I cried maybe 4 or 5 hours nonstop, man. You know, and
I had brothers around me crying and grabbing me and holding me. And I told them brothers, I said, if y'all don't get off of me, I'm going to start crying. Get up off of me.
Now, if I can touch on before we close out, my post brother was up there because the minister back was to the Capitol.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Now, there were elders. I mean, I got to meet John Singleton, Betty Shabazz. I met Will Smith. I met Ice Cube because I was up there. And my post brother, when you come down from the Capitol, they had to come past me.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
That was my post. Okay, so I was up there, and I mean, what I did, I don't know if anybody else did this, but the day after the Million Man March, I went to the newsstand and bought the Boston Globe, the New York Times. I bought all the major newspapers.
Yes, sir. I called C-SPAN, and I bought the entire day of the weekend because I was there the whole weekend. I was there at them high schools. People really didn't know the rallies that were going on. If you weren't in Washington, D.C. during the weekend of the march, man, rallies were going on. I mean, you had a lot of powerful speakers speaking. It was hype.
Now, here's something that a lot of people didn't know about. The stock market shut down for 2 days in November.
Mm.
Okay, it's the Million Man March was October 16th in November. Of that same year, the stock market shut down for 2 days because some of our people were not going to work, they were not spending money. And see, our people still haven't bothered to gather our spending power.
Right, you know, exactly.
Because everybody,
I'm going to put a caller on.
Okay, everybody's in our neighborhood opening up shop, and when we open up shops in our own neighborhood, our people will not patronize us. And that's bad.
Hold on, Brother Moss.
Yes,
Tracy,
ma'am.
You said you have another caller on. Peace.
Yes, I have a caller who wanted to ask a question. If he's still there, you can join our conversation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Peace, family. What's your name and where you calling from? Family. If you're there, you can go ahead and state your name.
It looks like he'll have to join the conversation later. I have you.
Tracy, you're breaking up a little bit. If you could speak a little clearer for me.
Thank you, Ebony. It looks like the gentleman is in a holding pattern, so I'll let you guys continue with your conversation. Thank you, Ebony. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that was something I wanted to touch on about our people, you know, because with Sister Ebony, you know, she knows me because I came up there and did a lecture on health up in Delaware, mm-hmm. and I'm still pursuing that because our people – we don't have the money and the health, you know, benefits to be going to doctors, you know, and they're not really curing anything, okay? And herbs and we, a lot of us have things in our kitchen that can cure cancer. You know, it's just that we are not educated enough to realize what they are. So
right, and you know what, brother?
Yes, ma'am.
I have to disagree with you just a little bit on when you said we don't have the money. Like, we collectively, we have the money. Some of us individually have the money. We tend to spend our money on a lot of frivolous items, and I witness this every day, all day, with people spending money on things they don't even really need. You understand what I'm saying? So
yes,
we are, collectively, we are the ones that are controlling this economic system. If we stop spending money, period, and just focus on spending money with our people, black businesses, we can, a whole shift will be made in the whole universe if we did that. I mean, we would turn this planet upside down. So I just don't agree when you say we don't have the money.
But you know
do.
What? I want to touch base on that. I think the people are afraid. Like, let's not forget back then we did try to build our own city, and then they turned around and burnt it down. So it's not like we didn't try to have our own within our own people. We did try to do that once upon a time.
Right. This go-round, we just got to be more organized and structurized and prioritized in order for this to really go down. And we have to trust one another. That's one main issue that we have. We don't trust each other. You know, we have to definitely trust one another first before we can even move forward. Like all these different groups, you know, communities and societies, we need to all just come together, sit in a big board meeting, you know, privately, and discuss whatever we need to discuss in order to come up with a serious solution. You know,
Ebony, I have another caller on the line. Ma'am, please tell us where you're from and join our conversation.
Yes, this is Sister Tua. I'm calling from Wilmington, Delaware.
Peace, Sister Tua. How you doing, Tua Raw? How you doing, sis? Thank you
good.
For tuning in.
Of course, of course. Peace to all. Peace to Brother Chris, Queen Isabella, beautiful Queen Ebony. Hello to everyone. I had a question. I had a point I wanted to bring up. My question for Brother Chris was, okay, so I work at a charter school right now, and I'm a choreographer, but I also work in that main office. Now, the charter school does not have a history class, and I wanted to start a history class, but I was curious as to what would you be able to suggest to me any material that I should use for the class? And, like, I want to figure out how to correspond dates to the dates that are in the curriculum of, like, Brandywine School District so that I can show the children, you know, dates that we were also doing things.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I have a curriculum that I can help you set up in the school if you would like.
That would be great. I would love that.
So if you know Queen Ebony, my information, please, from Queen Ebony, could you give her my information, please?
Yes, I got you. I know Tua, so, yeah, I'll give her your information. Yes, I will.
Definitely.
I'll just let her, you know, give her information that I have. Possibly, probably stop down at the school and see
okay.
Family, whatever noise is in the background, we can hear that. So whoever has, like, some noise in the background, just can you turn it down a little bit, please, so we can hear everybody?
Yeah.
Thank you. And did you have another question, sister?
My second point was, okay, now, and please no one take this the wrong way, because actually from listening to this conversation tonight, I actually got more insight to the Million Men March. But before, I was a little bit hesitant towards it because being a young black female and just seeing how, I guess, the community has grown, it seems more and more important to start. And the Million Men March to me, again, I said I got more insight on it today, but The Million Man March, to me, it broke us up in a sense, because I feel like it's a whole part of the community that she didn't use, like the women and children, that's so vital to the community. And since it takes a village to raise a child, I feel like it was so vital for everybody to be a part of it. But I do appreciate it, and I do understand why it was needed during that time, if that makes sense.
Can I say something? But it was, the women have always been standing up, always have been the backbone of the Black community. That's the reason why the emphasis was put on the man, because his stand up, he was, when he went down there, he was standing for his family. And he was saying that he gets over, he will come back, take care of his family, take care of his children, and take care of his woman and his community. But only 2 million men only 2 million Black men wanted to do that.
Right.
Hey guys, may I ask everyone to take one moment? Like Ebony said, there's some feedback there. Maybe adjust the mic in your hand, phone. Make sure the knowledge, because the questions were asked by that young lady, I think, represented a lot of you at that time. And, Chris, what you were saying was so profound. I just want our audience to be able to, you know, like, clearly hear what is being said now. So take a moment and just make sure that you don't hear feedback. Okay, guys?
Mm-hmm. Right. And if you can also, family, like, if you're not, like, speaking actually on the air right now, and if you can just mute your phone, like, press mute on your phone. And if you want to, you know, say something, then you can unmute it. But there is a lot of feedback going on. And it's kind of, you know, disturbing the, I'm sure it's disturbing the audience a little bit. Tua, are you still there, sis?
I'm still here.
I
didn't hear Brother Chris. I didn't hear him end up what he was saying.
Okay.
Chris, can you say that again, please?
Yes, sir. What I said was, the Black woman has always stood up. I myself am a product of a single household of 7 children with a strong Black woman. The Black woman has always stood up. The Million Man March was to pull up the bootstraps of the Black man. Now, the Black men that went down to that march, they made a pledge. They made a pledge that they would come home, they would take care of their family, that they would take care of their community, that they would take care of their woman. If you look at nature, always the male takes care of the family. Just like if you look at the lions, if a predator or somebody's coming around to try to harm the family, it's the male that takes on the enemy and destroys the enemy. So the job of the Million Man March was to stand up to the Black man, to stand him up and let him know that, guess what, you got work to do, Black man, and the whole world watched the Black man that day. That's what the beautiful thing was. The whole entire planet Earth watched that day, because it was on C-SPAN. A lot of people don't know this. So the whole world watched the Black man stand up, but it was only 2 million of them. The rest of them at? Where was the rest of our men at?
True.
They bowed down to the white man. They stayed home and here to come to the march. That's the bottom line. So on that day, the female was supposed to take her role as a female, no longer as a provider or the one that protects the family. She was to protect her home as the nurturer. Be home with the children and watch your man stand up for you. Ain't that a beautiful thing?
Such a beautiful thing. Such a beautiful Black love.
Indeed it is.
Okay,
and
thank
you.
I appreciate you for that insight.
Yes, thank you, Brother Chris. And you know what? It definitely shows, you know, just the 2 million that was there. It showed unity and it showed brotherhood. You know, it definitely showed brotherhood and unity within our brothers, and that's definitely what is needed to protect the nation, you know. Well, Brother Moss, I'm not sure if you're still on, but if you have any thing you wanted to add? Because we're going to be closing out in the next few minutes.
Okay.
If you're still on the line.
Okay, can y'all hear me?
Yes, brother.
Okay.
Thank you, Sister Tuwa.
Okay, there was a couple of things.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Okay. There was a couple of things that happened that many people didn't know of. One was that a brother got up in a tree to take pictures of the various speakers, and the branch broke. And a lot of the brothers caught the branch and got the brother off the branch and passed the branch overhead all the way out to the street. Another thing that happened is one idiot decided he wanted to come up in and smoke some pot. And all the brothers looked at him and gave him that look, and one brother was like, damn, you can't leave that stuff alone for one day? He said, don't you be waiting for stuff like this to happen? And they were really ready to go off on him, you know? And see, these are things that happened that a lot of people didn't know of, and there was only one arrest made at the Millionaire March, and that was a European.
Hmm.
There was not one brother that did anything to get arrested for. And to me, that's a beautiful thing for all our people to come together like that, you know. But the thing about it is, see, we made that pledge, as the brother stated, but when a lot of brothers left there, they just went back to being ignorant again. And that's that, you know, a lot of the brothers, you know, don't want to stand up to be men as they should be, but they want to play that. They want that position, but they don't want to manifest, you know, that mindset, that strength. You know what I mean?
All right.
The family.
Well, we thank you for your insight and wisdom, brother. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice. I'll be talking to you soon. And I tell you, this brother, Brother Mosiel, this brother is always sending me information. Like, he is a beautiful, beautiful brother, and it's a pleasure to even be in his company, because he is a beautiful spirit just to be around. And tell Sydney I said peace. Hi, little Sydney. Brother Chris, if you have any last statements that you want to make, go ahead, brother, do your thing.
Just want to say peace and love to all the listeners. I wish everybody peace, prosperity, and happiness. Hotep.
Queen, if you want to say anything extra, you can.
I appreciate being a part of the show, and peace be upon everyone.
All right. Thank you, Queen. I heard Julian in the background. So, Julian, I'm giving you a shout-out, baby. How you doing? Family, we thank you for tuning in to Catharsis on Is That Jazz Radio. I am your host, Sister Queen Ebony Zubia. Until we meet again, with love and peace, we appreciate you. One love. I am.
question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.